Father, we thank you again for your mercy, for your grace, for your provision of this day, Lord. You've given us all that we have need of. It's freely given to us in Christ, Lord. You are our all-sufficient one. We believe in you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you have been so good to us. Lord, that you've been so patient with us, Lord, that, Lord, you even weep along with man. And, Lord, you're the one that takes us through the difficulties, through the waters. But you said that when we walk through the waters, they would not overflow us. And through the fire, that we wouldn't be burned. We believe that, Lord, that you are the faithful and true God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord, thank you so much for sending your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, Lord, into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, this morning. And we thank you for the new life, the new birth, Lord. For, hallelujah, not only eternal life, but, Lord, the privilege to serve you here and now. To be, Lord, your ambassadors, to represent you here. So, Lord, I pray, stir up the gift of God in every heart. Bring us to full flame and make your will our desire, Lord. Hallelujah. That we'll be motivated by the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of the message this morning is, Who Will You Obey? Who will you obey? And we know that we're living in a time when good is being called evil and evil is being called good. But there's nothing new under the sun. And the same devil behind this modern mentality has been around a long time. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. You know, was listening to a testimony on Wednesday of someone who's going to lose their job because they didn't feel comfortable about getting the jab. But she says, no, I don't feel sorry for me. I actually feel sorry for them because they're allowing people to control and oppress them, and they're not even aware of it. I believe that we have a God-given freedom to choose what we allow and disallow. And so I thought that was the right attitude because, you know, the enemy would love to get us to be at odds with one another. He wants to divide us. He wants to cause division in America. But God wants us to love people, amen, and to reach out to them. And so we have to be careful that we don't get in the, if you will, the algorithm of the world, of the spirit of Antichrist, that's stirring the pot, that's trying to get people to fight with one another. Even within the body, we have to guard against this, you know. We're brothers and sisters from the new birth in Christ, amen? God has redeemed us, and we're family. And so we need to respect one another. We need to honor one another as children of God. And the way that we treat each other, my brother and my sister, is the way I'm actually treating the Lord. Because you are God's property, amen? So we need to be careful about what we do and what we say and what we allow or disallow. But we need to be led of the Holy Spirit in all things. God wants to guide our steps, amen? But he doesn't force that upon us. He invites us to partner with him and to inquire of him and to listen to him. God is, he's not a hard taskmaster. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. So he's not harsh, but what he calls us to will bring opposition from the world. But I would rather offend man than offend God. Amen. In the book of Daniel, we see a foreshadowing, I believe, of the day and age that we're living in, and certainly quickly approaching. And in Daniel chapter 3, I'm just going to read this passage, 3 through 7, chapter 3, 1 through 7. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces, in other words, the politicians, right, to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." And verse 6, "And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Here comes the pressure tactic, the intimidation tactic, the ultimatum, do or else. "So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music," it says all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worship the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It says all, except for a few Hebrew children, amen, three. Who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they were the ones that knew that that would be wrong to bow down and worship man or an image to a man or to worship Satan. So I believe what we see in this passage is an example of what tyranny looks like. The devil is a tyrant. He has no regard for one's personal rights or freedom. The word tyranny means, it refers to the actions of a ruler that are severe, oppressive, and self-centered. That's from the legal dictionary. Tyranny is also cruel, unreasonable, or arbitrary use of power or control. The devil is a narcissist. The devil is a tyrant. The devil does not want you to exercise your freedom. He wants you to be controlled and manipulated by him so that you will do what he wants you to do, so that you will bow down and worship him rather than the God of glory. Jesus said about the devil, "The thief does not come except what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy." That's John 10:10. "But I have come that you may have life, and that they may have it what? More abundantly." So what does the devil do? He does three things. He steals, he kills, he destroys. Now we know today, it's obvious, or it should be by now, unless we're totally caught up in the woke crowd, that the leaders of many nations today are in lockstep with Satan. You can see it by the oppressive policies that they make and enforce. What do? They pass laws that enable them to steal your rights, your money, your property. They pass laws designed to destroy the family unit and one's ability to provide for themselves and their families. And they even pass laws to make it legal to kill the innocent and the unborn. So today, what we are witnessing is Satanism on full display. Listen, they're not hiding it anymore. How many know that's true? It's in religion. It's in education, entertainment, politics, and even in certain churches across America, Satan is on full display. Communism is Satan's religion. It's a religion. It's a thought system. It's an oppressive, demonic, satanic thought system. And in communism, basically the government becomes God. The government replaces God. Nebuchadnezzar is just like many politicians today, who are willing to use intimidation, coercion, and even religion to strengthen their political power. How? By shifting people away from the worship of the one true God to the worship of men and angels. In communism, the government, again, becomes God. He becomes the savior, the provider, the protector. "Oh, we're doing this to keep you safe, you know." Thus robbing the individual of their God-given right to exercise their own free will. Amen. Free will is not something that the government should be able to authorize us to exercise. It's something that God gave us. Amen. And there is a higher power. There is a power and there is an authority that is above all authority, and that is the authority of God's word. Amen. What God has decreed, what God has said. and said, and today, instead of being critical thinkers, people are becoming slaves in their minds to an ideology. They're being brainwashed. You see, communists, they want slaves. They want people that will blindly agree with their agenda. They want people to blindly agree with their immoral, satanic agenda. So a kind of hive mentality. We all think and do. And Ecclesiastes 1:9 says this, "That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is what? Nothing new under the sun." Verse 10, "Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us." So we know that history does repeat itself. And it's time for the church to rise up in this hour, amen, and to repent and call on God like never before. Because what America needs is an intervention from heaven, amen, from the Lord to come and to move upon this nation and turn things around. God can shift things. God can change things. God can turn our captivity. God can bring back our freedom. He can restore our freedom. But he's waiting, I believe, on the ones that are called by his name to humble themselves, come on, and pray and what? Seek his face again. Not a whisper of prayer in the morning, but we need to be seeking the face of God. We need to be calling on him. We need to, the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women, amen, once again in the land, to be crying out to God for his divine intervention, because it's only God that's going to save America. It's only God that's going to turn this around now. God will use people, but we need to call on him to move upon the people, to move upon the politician, to move upon those people that are in positions. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, God had to take him and humble him so that he had an awareness now that he was not God, but God was God. Amen. And he was going to be submitted to the authority of the Almighty. Here's an example. In 1960, the president of Ghana, he had a slightly larger than life-size statue of himself erected in front of the National House of Parliament. An inscription on the side of the statue read, listen to this, "Seek ye first the political kingdom, and all other things shall be added unto you." You know you're a narcissist when? The statue was destroyed after a bloodless coup in 1966. Here's another one in 1936. I'm going to try to get this right. Herr Balder von Schirach, head of the youth program in Nazi Germany, said, "If we act as true Germans," hear it, "we act according to the laws of God. Whoever serves Adolf Hitler, the Führer, serves Germany. And whoever serves Germany serves God." Boy, if you're not careful, that one can get past you. Well, yeah. So you see how what was happening is they were trying to equate human government to God. And to the Nazi youth, obeying the German government under Hitler was the same as obeying God himself. How twisted, right? But that's what the devil does. He twists the word. He twists the truth. He perverts things. So what does the Bible say about government? Romans 13:1, it says, "Let every soul be what? Subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." You see, somebody can take this and run with this, just like it says there, and say, "Well, see, it says right here, you're supposed to be subject to the governing authorities." And yes, we are, to a certain point. Verse 2, "Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Now, let's look at this in context. Verse 3 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. I'm thankful today that I don't have to, as the song said, some of you remember the song, looking in your mirror and seeing a police car. You know, I can wave at them now. Come on. But, you know, we have to understand what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, good government is supposed to be doing good for the people. If you do what is good, then you'll have the praise from the same. He's talking about good government. Good government is government that is submitted to the authority of God's rule. Like Israel was supposed to represent the Lord in the earth. Amen? And you and I are to obey the governing authorities to the degree, amen, that it is not in any way violating the Most High's authority, His word, His truth, and your conscience, amen, as the Spirit would bear witness to you. If the government tries to enforce you or force you to do something against your conscience, your godly conscience, that is, amen, then you must resist that because it's not of God, it's of Satan. And we're not going to, like they did in Nebuchadnezzar's day, bow down to Satan, amen, and worship him or worship those that represent him. Amen. No man owns us. If we're children of God, there's only one, amen, that we give allegiance to. That's God himself, amen. Amen. And we obey the laws of our land. We should be the best citizens. We should be hardworking, tax-paying citizens, amen? So people can say, you know what, that's an example of how somebody should respect the authorities that are. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that just because you don't agree with something or like something that you disobey it. I'm saying that if there's a law that comes down that says you can't pray, well, who are we going to obey? And this is where we're at, guys. We have to make a stand now because we're fighting for our freedom and for our survival right now in this nation. Amen. If God does not intervene, then it's going to continue to go down the toilet. But if God does intervene, it can be stopped. It can be reversed and we could have a national awakening. And I'm believing that God's going to do something. I believe that God's going to turn it because I believe that what God is doing right now is he's getting the attention of his people. Amen. It's you and I that are going to make the difference. We are the salt. We are the light. We are to influence the government. The government's not supposed to influence us. Paul's saying that good government does good for its people. It is opposed to evil and injustice. Therefore, we are to obey such governing authorities. So if you're doing what's right, what's good, then you don't have to live in fear or paranoia. All right. So good government is government that is under God's authority. That's why we have a constitution in this nation. Amen. It was founded on the truth of God's word. And so that is actually our rule of law. And yet we have some that don't think that applies anymore. Who's really the lawless one? The one that stands on the Constitution that this country was founded on, or the one that does their own thing independent of the Constitution? That is the lawlessness that we're dealing with right now. Now, we know that the battle is not physical in nature. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This is spiritual in nature, amen? And so it requires God's people exercising their God-given right and authority, all right, to deal with the situation that we're faced with in prayer, in declaration, in action, in conduct. That we're an example, amen? In word and in deed, everything that we do should be for the glory of God. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was a narcissist. He was prideful. He thought he was God. And I don't know if it was his idea, but somebody probably said, hey, why don't we make an image for you? That ought to stroke your ego real good. And he would soon find out who the true God was, didn't he? So God had to humiliate this leader in order to wake him up. So God revealed to Nebuchadnezzar in advance what was coming. He gave Daniel the interpretation of a dream he had in Daniel chapter 4, verse 29. And at the end of 12 months, he, Nebuchadnezzar, was walking around the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. And while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. Does what? He gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxygen. You know oxen. There's actually a condition that people actually think that they're an animal. And I can give you an example. I worked in a halfway house for a little while. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers. See, they had dreadlocks even back then. And his nails like birds. But you know, even in this, what's the one thing that really stands out to me? As God was demonstrating his mercy for this man, his great mercy for this man. You know, instead, God didn't destroy him completely. He could have. But instead, God humbled him. And what did he do? He gave him a revelation of who the Lord was. That's God's mercy. Even somebody like this that was causing multitudes to bow down to an idol, basically, God had mercy on this man. Got a hold of him, shook him up real good, humbled him, humiliated him, basically. But listen to his attitude change here in Daniel 4, verse 34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Daniel 5 and verse 21, then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. Now, how do we pray for our leaders? I pray that the Lord would be merciful to them, that the Lord would humble them, whatever it takes, to bring them to a place of an attitude adjustment, to realize that they are not God, but they are to be subject to the Most High God. Amen. I pray that, Lord, you will wake them up, you'll shake them up, whatever it takes, but humble them and bring them to a place of repentance where they will acknowledge you as God. Just like you did with Nebuchadnezzar. You know what? God can humble these leaders. But he can also remove them if necessary. But we need to pray for God's will. Amen. His kingdom to come, his will to be done in America. So that's why we, according to 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I hope everybody here is doing that. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who, what? Desires all men to be saved. God, we pray that you'd save our governor, Jay Inslee. God, we ask you to be gracious to him, merciful to him. God, we ask you to bring him to his knees, Lord, in repentance that he might be saved. In Jesus' name. He, God, desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What does the devil do? He uses intimidation tactics to control and oppress others. As Nebuchadnezzar says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And as you know, as God's people, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, right? 2 Timothy 1:7, and of a sound mind. Now the commandments that the Lord gives us, They're not harsh. They're not grievous. They're not burdensome, actually. What is this commandment? The new commandment I give you is to love one another. I meant to love, to walk in the love, the agape of love towards others. To walk in the Spirit. When we're yoked up with Jesus, when we're in the Spirit, it's not heavy. It's not hard. Amen. The joy you experience today. Amen. It's God just lifting up the heavy burden. And it's like Jesus is with us in this, carrying it together with us. Amen. We do this mission together. Hallelujah. It's not me working for God. It's me walking with God and doing the will of God. Hallelujah. And I find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now, I can put myself under a false burden. The devil will put you under a false burden. A false burden is something that the devil actually puts on you that God has not put on you. You aren't doing enough. You ain't working hard enough. Blah, blah, blah. No, we just need to obey the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen. The lover of our soul. And God will lead us by his Spirit into good works. But those good works will be birthed in the Spirit. And by the power of God, they will be accomplished. And it's not that we're going to go out here and burn out because we're working so hard for God. But we're walking with God, amen, in the Spirit. And God will just open doors and opportunity. And ministry will flow out of the heart of God because you're in union with him. So it's not me just working for God, it's me walking with God and allowing God to work through me. Jesus said, for this is the love of God. Well, this is John speaking, but this is the commandment of the Lord. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are what? No, because his commandments are life-giving. We are controlled now by the Spirit and the Spirit of life in Christ. Amen. And it is a cooperative effort. We choose to submit ourselves to God. Amen. And God grants us grace because we have humbled ourselves. He empowers us to do the work, and we can do it joyfully. And because we want to, not because, or we get to even, not because I have to. Guys, if ministry becomes something that God wants me to do it, so I'm going to do it, then, man, you're not right with God. You got to get right with God. Amen. When you're right with God, it's like you want to. You get to. It's a joy to serve the Lord. So we're never to worship man or angels. And what we're experiencing right now is a new level of intimidation from Satan, an attempt to get everyone to bow down to him and to his agenda right now. So you and I must be strong, and we must resist him. And our ability to successfully resist evil comes only from the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. If we don't wake up now, we can end up like Nazi Germany, completely enslaved and stripped of our God-given rights. And you and I can only overcome Satan and his power with God's power. Amen. Only by God's power can you overcome Satan and his power. Some people think, well, if I just try hard enough, I can overcome. No, you're not going to be able to do it in your strength. You need to humble yourself under the hand of God and allow God to empower you. Amen. Keep a humble attitude. Amen. About who you are. All right. And know that you actually need God more than you sometimes think you do. I know that I do too. And if you don't think you need God, well, God will make sure you know that you need God. Because he's a good father. Amen. But we need God's power and we need God's authority in our lives. And I want to say this. We can have power but not have the authority go with it. You know? And authority is given as a person shows himself to be faithful, as a good steward of what God has invested. Okay? So you can have power, amen, but the authority to wield will be given to those depending upon their own faithfulness to what God has called them to do. All right. So some people are just waiting for something to happen. Other people say, Lord, what are we going to do together today? And they're learning day by day, faithful steps of obedience to the Lord. And the Lord says, you know what? You've been faithful in little. I'll make you ruler of much. He'll increase your effectiveness. And in the process of that, he's going to be honing you. He's going to be purifying you. He's going to be taking off the sucker branches, if you will, and doing some pruning on the old tree, amen, because, well, that's no good, and that's useless over there, but we're going to have something that's going to be productive here. So we need to submit ourselves to that dealing that God takes us through. I know I've talked to some people here, and some people have even said that, you know, I got sick from this ugly stuff. But you know what? It actually had a good impact on my life. My body didn't like it at all, but you know what? It made me grow closer to God and realize how fragile I am and frail I am and how much I need God. And people also realize that, hey, we don't know how much time we have. What are we doing right with the time we have left? Let's live for the purposes of God. Amen. Let's store for ourselves treasure in heaven. Every spiritual victory in our lives is a result of God's supernatural ability. Every spiritual victory is a result of God's supernatural ability working in us. So our faith must be in God to heal and to save and to deliver people. Amen? It's only by God's power and authority that we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's only through God's power can we be victorious. You all know this very well, 2 Corinthians 10:4, but we're reminded once again, the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal of human origin, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Yes, we can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens us. So Jesus came to do what? To rescue us from tyranny, from spiritual tyranny. And he came to deliver us, amen, and release us from the power of the Holy Spirit to serve him and to fulfill our God-given destiny. Now, as God was with Joshua of old, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that was with Joshua is with his church today, is with his people today. Amen? And so he will, not might, but he will be with you. He will be with us through it all. Amen? And through it all, we will learn to trust in our God. Through it all, we'll know that we can depend upon his word, that God is faithful to what he promises, that God won't leave us. He won't forsake us. I trust in the Lord. Jesus came to rescue us from every spiritual tyranny. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? The Lord said, be strong and of good courage. That was a command. To be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now hear it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. What happened when God spoke to them? What happened when God spoke to Joshua? Faith came. Because God said, don't be afraid. Just be of good courage. And wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. If God says that I believe it, that settles it. Let's just believe that God means what he says. He doesn't just change his mind. Sometimes we can be tested in this area and wonder, is God with me? Ever had those moments where you're wondering if you did something to offend God, if God didn't, you're not feeling God, or, well, God promised to not leave you or forsake you. And our faith in what he promises will produce his grace in our lives and flowing through our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit always moves together with the word of God. So if God has promised you something and you put your faith, your trust, you just speak that and declare it. Amen. There is power in the word of God. Whatever we speak in agreement with what the Father speaks, it will come to pass. As God was with Joshua, hallelujah, he's going to be with us. And the psalmist in Psalms 31:23, oh, love the Lord, all you saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Now I love this, one of my favorite verses, be of good courage. What's our part? Be of good courage. What was Joshua's part? Be courageous, right? And I will strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. Yeah. All right. So, God, give me the courage. You know, courage is something that we must exercise. It's something that we must do. We must hear the word, get a word from God, amen, know what God is saying. And then my part is to take courage. That means I need to master the fear in my life that would prevent me from doing what God said to do. And when you take mastery over the fear, you say, I refuse to allow fear to control me. You're taking courage, you see. And God says, if you will obey me in this, and when I'm telling you to do something, your flesh may not want to do it. You may be insecure in yourself, but he says, you be of good courage and you believe that I'm going to be with you in this. Amen. And do what I tell you to do. When you step out for God, he's going to step out with you. And you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the manifest presence of God in your life. You're going to see God work through you. Amen. Speak through you. Heal through you. Because you took courage in obedience to the voice of God. Amen. And you took the courage and then God meets you in that place of obedience. He said, be of good courage and I will what? Strengthen your heart. So if you want your heart to be strong in the Lord, it's going to require courage. Sometimes God's going to ask you to do something publicly. Maybe you're a shy person. You don't like being public. There's times when God's going to just say, I want you to trust me in this. And do contrary to what your nature says, your old nature anyways. And when you step out for God, he'll step out with you. If you stand up for Jesus, he will stand up in you. Have you found that to be true? You're going to be challenged. I'm challenged to do things that are contrary to what I would do naturally. But if I know God is speaking to me, when God speaks, faith comes, faith of the heart, to say, God said it. God said, I will be with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. Don't fear those who can kill your body and have no more to do with you. But fear him who casts both body and soul into hell. Fear him. Who said that? Jesus. You know, there's no fear in love. There's no fear in God. If I find myself being fearful, it means I lack someone. Yeah. You want to be bold? Then you need the power of God, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, amen, to fill your life. And he'll give you supernatural boldness. Amen. This is not a whisper prayer in the morning thing we're talking about here. Amen. It's a draw near to God thing. And draw from the resources, his eternal resources of provision of grace for you to do the will of God, which is something you can't do naturally. But by the power of God, we can do all things in agreement with his will. I wanted to read in closing today from Ephesians 6:10. But this is from the Amplified. I think I got the New King James up there, which is what? Be finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I believe, guys, in order for us to overcome, it requires the power of God. Amen. And it requires us operating in the authority that God has given us. There's no other way. Otherwise, you'll be like the majority of people in Nebuchadnezzar's day. It says all the peoples, they fell down on their face. They bowed, they cowed in. They gave in to the intimidation and the peer pressure of that day. You and I need to rise above that. Amen. On wings as eagles, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. God will give you the strength. That means you need to draw near to God. Amen. And receive from him what you have need of every day so that you can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. In the Amplified, Ephesians 6:10 says this, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. To be strong in the Lord is to be empowered by your union in him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. What? That strength which his boundless might provides. Hallelujah. How many love his presence? How many know that he loves your presence too? Amen. And that he's waiting sometimes for us, hello, to respond to his invitation so that he can enjoy us too. And that's how it happens. We're in harmony with the Lord. We abide in the Lord. And that's the only way that we can bear his fruit. Amen. The fruit that God the Father accepts and is glorified in. And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. and we don't love our lives unto the death. Hallelujah. But Lord, we trust in you. We know that you know the way through the wilderness, and all we have to do is follow you. Hallelujah. Lord, we are the one that makes a way where there didn't seem to be any way. You make a way through the sea. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are faithful and true. You are the God who is with Joshua. And Lord, we know that you're with us today. We believe in your truth. We believe your word, your promise, Lord, that you would never leave us. Even when we're unfaithful, Lord, you remain faithful. But God, we want to be faithful. We want to be obedient, Lord. We want to bring you pleasure. We want to say thank you, Lord. We want to give our lives back to you. Out of gratitude for all you've done for us, Lord, we want to love you back, Father, the rest of our lives. Father, grant us the grace, grant us the power of your Spirit to strengthen, to embolden, to equip, and raise up, Lord God, this generation. Raise up your people. Wake up your people in America. God, bring revival to America. Bring an awakening to this nation, Lord God. God, we say, arise in this nation again. Arise in your people again throughout this nation. And let your enemies be scattered, Lord. Drive them away in Jesus' name. And Lord, liberate every captive. Break every yoke of the oppressor. Set every captive free in Jesus' name. For your glory and for your name's sake, we ask. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, baptize our hearts with your fire. Baptize us with your holy fire. Give us holy passion for you, Lord. Stir up the gift in every heart, God. Wake us up, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.